I have been doing something that needed to be done, I guess, 35, 40 years ago. I have been going through the family correspondence because Ruth says she's tired of it sitting in the closets and on my desk and everything. And so I've been going through these documents and some of the letters from my former wife and some other in the family and everything. And anyway, my grandmother Dexter, we called her, was big on writing things, and so there are a lot of articles in there, and I just ran across this, and I thought it kind of fits our feelings today. The poem as good as probably she ever wrote, but anyway, it's still not a great poem. But anyway, the words are, when Washington was president, as cold as any icicle, he never on a railroad went or ever rode a bicycle. He read by no electric light nor heard about the Yellowstone. He never licked a postage stamp or ever saw a telephone. His trousers ended at his knee, but wire he could not send or dispatch. He filled his lamp with whale oil and grease and never had a match to scratch. We are all those things. We have all those things. But alas, we seem to have no Washington. Say that about Lincoln, too. See, Washington is gone, Lincoln is gone, but we still have Jesus. We still have Jesus. He was, long before those two guys, was crucified, dead, and buried. Well, I'd been undertaken to do imitation of Jesus in different areas of his life, and tonight I wanted to undertake to do imitation of Christ in prayer. And as we went through, I kept thinking, you know, you all are demonstrating all this lesson here tonight in your prayers and in your prayer messages. And that's good, really good for God's church. In our family, you can probably understand that our family, because my reliance on Grandmother Dexter so much, and of course I probably haven't said as much about Sidney North, my grandfather, but I should too. But anyway, tonight I wanted to share with you Renee's prayer. In our family, we normally said prayer for the meal. And Renee was probably 3 or 4 years of age, maybe 5. I don't think so, but I think she was pretty young. Christmas. And in our family, whole family was in our house. I think some 30-some people. And came time for the prayer before the meal. And Renee asked to pray. Now, I'm in the horns of a dilemma because it's always been Grandfather. He wasn't there for the first time. And Renee, the youngest member of the family, asked to pray. Caught in between the problem of trying to figure out what a 3 or 4, 5-year-old kid would say and whether or not I'll let her do it at all, went fast, and I finally just said, okay. And she started in. Heavenly Father, I pray for Mommy, I pray for Daddy. I pray for Uncle David. And she went through everybody around the table. Everyone, one by one. Named them all. Then she said, I pray for our church. I pray for my friends. And she went around all the friends and started naming their friends. And I kind of coughed. Pretty soon she was praying, because she was running out of topics, she was praying. And I pray for the spoon, and I pray for the fork, and I pray for the knife. And at that point, I kind of said, and so I said, amen. But I thought about it. You know, she wasn't really wrong. That knife and that fork wasn't mine. God created everything in the earth. So, kind of struck me, and it kind of motivated me and moved me that he had this concept. And you see, the problem was that our older daughter was in the house when everybody talked about everything in as adults. So she thought she was an adult. And we treated Renee as a child. And Renee thought she ought to be an adult. Anyway, that's her prayer. So, I want to talk tonight about imitating Christ in prayer in relation to praying. And this is not a study about his prayers, but his actions and observation with regard to the process of praying. Recall that we determine Christ is that following Christ is actually imitating him and his actions by reason of the footnote to Ephesians 5:1 and some other observations in other chapters where Paul talks about following him, and when he discusses that, he says following is imitation. So we discussed last time imitation as being to model oneself after behaviors of and actions of another, after their actions, after their behaviors. Second definition is to copy the actions and appearance of another. Could be and could include their speech, so what they actually say. Third definition is to duplicate exactly, reproduce what they do. So that would be to, like an actor would, do everything, motion and the speech and the whole bit. And the fourth definition is to appear like. So, the sources of information that I was able to look at, contrary to what I said last time, was the Bible, not books outside the Bible, because the only way you're going to find out what Christ is talking about with regard to prayer is to look at the four Gospels. So, turn first to Luke 18. This is one of two parables on prayer. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray, not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge who feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor I regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest her continual coming be weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not a God avenge his own elect, which day cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? I'm going to return to this in just a few minutes, but I want to go back to the verses in Matthew, and to be right honest, for the most part, there's corresponding verses in the other Gospels, not all of them, and they're not all alike, and I'm going to try to sort some of those verses out to discuss the actions Christ had with regard to prayer. What were his actions? And the first one is, turn to Matthew 6, 9 through 13. Matthew 6, 9 through 13. And this is his teaching the disciples how to preach. And this is what he says. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forget our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Now, he says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. He's not telling us, this is a command, you pray these words. He's not dictating to us that we pray these exact words. He's suggesting this is a form of a prayer, a form of praying. You don't have to follow that. He doesn't ask you to, doesn't expect you to follow that. It's not a demand. It's a suggested format of a prayer. Command, not a command, but a recommendation, a way to pray. It's not meant to be the only way to pray. It's not meant to be any more than a suggestion. It's a suggestion especially for the disciples who ask the question of how to pray. But new believers that come into our acquaintance, it is a sample of what, if we're going to imitate Christ, we need to be prepared to do, to share with new believers the format of prayer, how we pray. It's not always going to be the same. Prayers that follow this example somewhat are going to have these issues in the prayer. Praise of God. God's will be done, or give us our needs. Forgive our sins, lead us, deliver us from evil, for thou is God. So those issues are going to be in there, but it's just a sample. It isn't the only thing that's going on. And when we look at all the diverse that we just now went over, the diverse issues and topics that we prayed about, it doesn't even begin to exhaust them. And it kind of suggests to you, when they talk about him going off and praying for 2 or 3 hours, how in the world could he do that? How can you even think of that many things to pray about that you spend 2 or 3 hours praying? Well, we just saw an example of that. You all just suggested here an example of many, many ways and issues that we have. Your examples may be other things. Your examples may be Thanksgiving. Your examples may be protection from harm. Your examples may be ask and seek. Your examples may be just to encourage other people. Your examples may be for peace, for understanding. A whole bit of other things, that topics that you could put in your examples. So, see, now here I want to turn next to Matthew 7. Through 11. Matthew 7:7-11. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. For a man, or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then be evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children. How to much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him. Now what, see, the words here help us understand what Christ is teaching. But the lesson from this is encouraging us to pray. It's encouraging us to go ahead and pray. To seek God's will and to ask for. And so, do we ask? Do we really ask? Now, it's at this time, it's at this time that Ruth gets correspondence, an email from Harry Buckler. And I'm at this stage of the preparation of this lesson. And this article that she sent was from a Remco Brommet, if I'm pronouncing his name right. And so I was looking at this. Ruth that thought it was really good, and I was looking at it, and so I thought, well, you know, it fits. It's right here, what we're talking about. See, what we've learned so far is that Christ suggests a format of a prayer. Second thing he does is encourages us to pray. So I look at this article. I look at this article by Remco Brommet, and first thing he does is he recommends a prayer, suggested prayer in his article, and this is his prayer. Father, we pray that you would prepare us and this church and the church as a whole for the end times. Give us your wisdom and discernment, God, so that we can save ourselves and save other people for you. That doesn't sound like that prayer of Christ. It's not, see, a repeat. Because the times have changed, the times are different, and his recommended prayer is intent on where we are now today. Then he goes into a discussion. So he's done the first thing that I see in the Gospels that Christ is trying to encourage us to do is to suggest a form of prayer. And that's even for those that are the old heads. The way I look at this, we have been praying. But this is a suggestion maybe to us, not just to the new ones that come in and are visitors here, but to us, because this is a issue that bothers us. And so he's just suggesting of a form of prayer. Well, then if you go on back and go through his lecture and everything, then he gets down to the end. And he says, if you feel a similar concern, I invite you to pray with me that the American church, amid all this chaos and the world around us, wakes up to its need and to prepare for what is to come. So now he's suggesting not only that we pray or encouraging us to pray, he's also suggesting some things that we really ought to be praying for. And he goes on, to be stirred by a sense of urgency, to be alert and start praying. If you're not a praying, you need to start right now. If you haven't been praying, you need to start right now. If you have been praying, don't stop. Keep going. To understand what the second issue, to understand what the preparedness consists of, and be motivated by faith instead of fear, encouraging us to rely on what the gospel says, what Christ says about don't fear. To become people of unceasing prayer out of the conviction and the knowledge that prayer matters to God and is key to all aspects of our relationship with Him. It's praying ceaselessly. To become lovers of His Word and to engage with it daily, seeking His help to understand, believe, and obey it, and to let us make people of discernment that will recognize the deception of Satan's beast. To understand that Satan's at work. What's going on, what's causing all our problems is Satan. God already told us He's going to take care of that guy. To be so fully and strongly surrendered to Christ that we're willing to suffer for our faith. That we're willing to have to give up some of our goodies for our faith. To proclaim God's truth of the gospel and the truths of His will and His word increasingly and boldly to our American society, that He pledges to be one nation under God, but is turning away from Him more and more. In other words, to stand fast. It's just His suggestions. Not a command, not a demand, not necessary that we just adopt His thing in toto. So he's imitating. This article just imitates those two first propositions. So I want to go then to some of the other articles with regard to prayer. And I think what we need to do here is to turn to Matthew 11, Matthew 11, 25 and 26. Matthew 11, 25 and 26. And at that time, Jesus answered and said, "Thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight." Thanking Father for what the Father's doing, even though in the reading of this, you might assume that he has a question about whether it's the right thing to do. So he's thanking the Father for this, maybe even when he kind of questioning the way God's going here. So we should thank the Father, even when it doesn't work out like we think it should go. If we're going to imitate Him, we ought to thank the Father, regardless of whether it comes out the way we would do it. Turn to Matthew 18, 19 and 20. Matthew 18 and 19. Or Matthew 18, 19 and 20. "And again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. And here, do we agree? Do we seek fellow believers? Do we agree? And if so, do we ask? Do we ask? Ask. I say unto you that if you shall agree, you shall ask, it shall be done for any of them. Is it always going to be perfectly the way you want it? No, the last verse we just read tells us that. I'll turn to Matthew, Matthew 21:13. And said unto them, it is written, my house should be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. Now see what he's suggesting is that his house is a house of prayer. He's making it very clear that his house is a house of prayer, and this same thing is in the several different gospels. But my question is our house a house of prayer? And we've made this here because of the women's Bible study and this Wednesday night Bible study. We made it a house of prayer. We come here specifically, and the first thing we do here is pray. So, yeah, we've made it a house of prayer. And let's see, I read Matthew 21:13. So, forgive me. And then Matthew 13:21-22. I think I've messed that up. Let me go on. Matthew 13:21-22 is, and I wasn't going to read it. Ask and believe. Have faith. And the one we just read said, ask and believe. Mark 11:24. I'm just going to... Mark 11:24, and I'm just paraphrasing this. Whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe, and ye shall have them. Mark 9, disciples, and I'm not going to have you turn there, but in Mark 9, the disciples ask, why can't we cure people like you've done in the miracles? And Christ's answer is, it comes by prayer and fasting. The Bible does not suggest, in all of the miracles that Christ goes about doing, the Bible does not really suggest that Christ, there's not a Christ, description of Christ praying before the miracles. And then when he gets to the disciples, he tells them it's prayer and fasting. That seems a little strange, but when you actually look further, then Christ says, that it is prayer. John, it is prayer. And he does recommend prayer to the disciples before asking for God's. So, even though you don't see the prayers in the Gospels before the asks or does the miracles, what he's really suggesting to the disciples is that it does take prayer. And he does confirm that on down the line, and I'm unable to pick up on that verse from my notes here. And there's some others. Mark 14:22-23, and Luke 22:19. This is the Last Supper. This is the Last Supper. And what God does there, what Christ does there, is he makes it very clear that he gives thanks before the meal. He makes it very clear. He's giving you another example that we ought to be doing that. My suggestion would be that if that were being done in the family's homes, we wouldn't have as many illegal drugs on the street, wouldn't have as many children running wild or what have you, if we had been praying thanks. It reminds me of the family that lived a few doors from us in Dallas. Always went on vacation, asked my wife to haul their kids to school, and they lived at home. At 11, 12, and 14, they lived at home, and we hauled them to school, acted as their parents. So if we'd been given thanks, if they had been given thanks, if you had been given thanks, maybe we wouldn't have the problems that we have and some of the serious issues that we see in our system today. Luke 3:21-22, Jesus being baptized and praying. So see, he confirms that praying at the time we're baptized, if we're baptized, praying at that time is appropriate. He's suggesting that we ought to be doing that. Here's John 11:41-47. This is the Lazarus. This is the resurrection of Lazarus. And my point here is that Jesus thanked God for hearing him. See, and this is where I was headed a minute ago when I was saying he does the miracle. It doesn't describe before he does the miracle that he prayed or that he fasted. It doesn't describe that, but here in John 11:41-47, Jesus thanked God that thou hast heard me, showing that he prayed before he actually did that. It just wasn't really gone through as a part of doing the miracle, but it was. And I just assumed kind of in all of my time, I never, until I studied it this time, I never figured that there wasn't a prayer before the miracle. Here he confirms that God heard him before he raised Lazarus. Now, I've gone past the time, and I'm going to hurry and bring this to a conclusion here, but John 17 is a high priestly prayer, intercessory prayers, and you'll have to read the whole book And I don't have time, and you don't want me to take time to go ahead and read all the way through it. But basically, he is praying for us. He's praying for those people that are his people. He's praying for the people that that are believers. He's praying for those that have been given the grace. He's praying for God's people, knowing full well that he's going to crucifixion. This is the high priestly prayer. Now I want to turn back. I want to turn back to Luke for a minute. Luke 20. Luke 18, I'm sorry, Luke 18, 18, 1 through 8. Let me just conclude with where I wanted to go on this in the first place. 1:18, Luke 1:18. And we read it before. And he spake the parable unto them to this end, and the men ought to always pray and not faint, saying, there was a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor I regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by and her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? So, this is the one of two parables about prayer. And I think the two parables are very important, because what this says is, stay with it. Stay with it. Do it over and over again, even if it doesn't work. Stay with it. Keep praying. Keep letting me know. Be persistent, be persuasive, be at the job of praying. Now I want to read the next one. I know I'm way over, but 5 minutes here. Give me 5 minutes and I will. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves, and they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up unto the temple to pray, and one the Pharisee and another a publican. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing far off, would not lift up so much of his eyes unto heaven, but smote him upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And the whole point is, these two parables tell us what Christ would have you do. Stay with it. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. Stay with it. Keep going, doing it over and over again. And it doesn't matter how good you think you are still a sinner. You can't improve that by doing it and doing it and doing it. Seek God's mercy. The two things that he would suggest, that you share the examples, that you encourage people to pray, and this is what 18:1 is doing, and that no matter how much you pray, what you do, still not anything but a sinner. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your assistance with this lesson. And forgive me for kind of getting out of sync with the notes that I have here, Father. Pray, Father, that the conclusion is clear, that the message is clear, that we should be praying always, seeking you always in prayer, no matter what the problems are on the streets, no matter what the problems are in our country, we should be seeking you. And the mere fact that we seek you really from our experience gives us some sort of relative peace in this unjust world. And we pray, Father, that you be merciful to us all because we need it. In Christ's name we pray.